sports game. We normally go around our neighborhood for Halloween. Yesterday you talked a little bit. We've talked a lot about Halloween throughout all the different post games. So if you're an old school member, you're familiar with my love for it and Anna's disdain for it. We normally go around our neighborhood. It's super fun. The kids get dressed up. Joy was Snow White. Pro was a ninja. And then we found
Joy would be a perfect Snow White.
Is she why you?
She's so cute.
And you know what I did? I took half her candy and said, "This is for socialism." We did math exercises with the candy, try to get some sort of,
Wow, you're a good parent. Awesome.
Let's keep it real.
That's what my dad would do for sure, and yeah. I would hate him for it for that moment.
Anyway. But this year we got wind of a place in LA where they have like this Halloween spectacular, and we're like, what does that mean, Halloween spectacular? What is it? And they didn't say spectacular. They're just like, oh yeah, are you going to that street? And I'm like, and then we were like 50-50, like we got to get in a car. I don't know. And then we're like, all right, let's just try it, okay? And we went, and wow, I don't know if that's how Halloween used to be back in the day. But it was amazing. I would even say amazeballs. It's like basically one block where almost all the houses participate, and everybody goes there. It was so crowded. It was like a Mardi Gras for kids. Like I got a little scared that we were going to lose track of the kids. Okay. And then you don't have to knock on the doors. People have set up tables outside where they're giving out the candy, and a lot of the houses are decorated. And then some of the houses you can go in and the parents can get drinks. So candy for the kids, sangria for the parents. I'm like, what is this? This is the best kind of socialism I've ever seen.
Can I make a point about Halloween that I haven't made yet, and I feel like it's unfair to my image if I don't say this.
To your image, okay.
Yeah, so I think Halloween, if you have kids, is actually awesome. Like you made a joke yesterday about how like if you're a college student or if you're a child, like you should love Halloween. If you're a parent with a kid, like suck it up, something like that. It was a joke. I know you didn't mean it, but I think like dressing up your kids and seeing them have fun, like nothing. Okay, this is ridiculous because I'm comparing a dog to kids, but my dog is my kid at the moment, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
When I do something for my dog and I can see that he's excited or happy, it makes me so happy.
Imagine if you had a kid.
Oh, I would like, my heart would explode, right? If I make my niece laugh, it's the best fucking thing in the world. Best thing in the world. So Halloween is awesome if you have kids. That's what I wanted to say.
So Joy did apparently with her at her school, they did a little bit of trick or treating, and then we went out and did that.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, she's still dressed up as Snow White and says, I did two Halloween set. This was the best Halloween ever. Oh God, game over. Everything's worth it, right?
Those are the good things in life, man.
Yeah.
They are.
Amazing. I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for it. So anyway, and then one of the guys in the neighborhood, or one of the people in the neighborhood, put up a giant flat screen TV on their lawn with the Dodgers game. So like not only are you trick or treating, not only are there drinks for the parents and all the candy in the world to the kids, but the Dodger game is on and it's the World Series. Oh my God, it was like America on steroids. It was like America had been like they put a, hit the main vein, right?
Yeah.
I OD'd on America there for a second. I was like, oh, Kit Kats, Dodgers, beers.
Sangria.
Oh,
cute kids in costumes.
America.
Yeah. By the way, look, I am not like a big baseball or sports in general fan, right? But this World Series is really good. So much drama, so much action.
Yeah, that 13-12 game was bananas. So I had to jettison baseball because I'm too busy, so I had to throw things overboard. And you don't want to throw your family and friends overboard. Okay, you can't throw work overboard. So I was like, baseball, it was nice knowing you. off you go.
Yeah.
I threw baseball off the plane, then college basketball, then college football. I've thrown a lot of the sports, and then the NBA regular season. I'm just down to NFL and NBA playoffs. That's it.
Okay.
Okay. And I love sports, so that was painful. So I literally heard people going bananas over the Dodgers game when it was 12-12, when they caught up from, they were down 12-9, yeah, and they got to be 12-12. And I heard the explosion in the neighborhood,
yeah,
and I was tempted to turn it on, but I had stuff to do, and I was like, no, that's the price of freedom.
No, okay, that's not freedom.
I know, it's not freedom, it's the opposite. But like, that's the price for trying to accomplish things.
Yeah, I know.
And so I'm like, so that's somebody else's fun, and bless their hearts. That's, I got to keep going.
It's so funny that you were working. I was working during that time too, in my home office area, and Christian was watching the game. And it was like frustrating because I had the windows to our place open, and you can hear other people and you know, just people all around like cheering and freaking out. No, no, no. And I was like kind of bitter about it because I'm like, I want to participate. But you're right. Like, I needed to get the work done. So it's whatever, it's over.
So, yeah.
You know what I did last night?
What?
I went on a 3-mile run.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my Halloween. And I didn't feel bad about it at all. I'm like, I don't want to be outdoors. I ran on the treadmill for 3 miles, like hard,
mm-hmm,
and felt really good. That endorphin rush, man, there's nothing
that
like
really it does it for you, and doesn't do it for me in,
yeah,
that case. But anyways, a couple of the houses apparently are run by art directors. Like, they, not run, they, art directors live there. It's, uh-huh, it is LA, so they work in the movie business, so they like go bananas on the house,
mm-hmm,
and it's super neat.
Yeah.
And then it's neat to see Joy get scared, as I was saying before, and then she like cuddles up next to me, like. Last thing about this amazing house, and my parents came, so it was like, wow, it was so good. Is that I didn't have a costume, as we talked about yesterday, so I put on the TYT Superman one and the TYT Bat a shirt and the TYT Batman hoodie, right? Mm-hmm. And Pro was like, Baba, he's like, that's a costume.
Aww.
Okay, because you're going as the guy on TYT. Okay, I'm like, that's true, I am.
He's so sweet.
And a couple people recognize me, uh-huh, and he's like, Baba, they recognize your costume.
Aww. So sweet, I love,
yeah,
it.
So that's your over-the-top saccharine story about Halloween. Makes sense, because Halloween is very sugary.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And that pun was not intended. Okay, that's all I had.
Do you want to end, or should I talk about something?
What, do you have something?
I have something.
Well, then real quick, let's do your something.
Okay, so every once in a while, you have those moments where, like, fulfillment is a drug, right?
That's what I say all the time. It's a hell of a drug.
And for some people, it's more of a drug than others. Like, for me, it is like probably my number one drug. And when I start feeling like I'm not fulfilled, I lose my mind and I start getting crazy. And so, dude, I really, 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 really love teaching. It's like one of the most rewarding things in the world. And so, I feel like I've been getting better at it because you become more wise in terms of methods and strategies to help students kind of grasp, the concepts better. And the biggest obstacle for me was trying to get some students up to speed in their writing skills because grade inflation definitely exists, right? People who should not be passed do get passed. And you, all of a sudden, you have college students who just don't know basic grammar. And they're going to fail your class unless they know basic grammar. And I don't want to fail them. They're good students. They show up to every class. They're working hard. They just don't know because they just didn't have the tools, right?
That's amazing.
And it's devastating. And so this semester, I decided, okay, for the students who are really struggling with writing and like the basic English requirements, I'm going to make a small group, and I'm going to work with them, each one of them, one-on-one during my free time, and like basically teach them writing on the side, like, mm-hmm, for free. And it's really hard, and it's very time-consuming because I'm teaching an extra class for free, right? And
mm-hmm,
and so every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I'm pretty much working the whole day like editing their work, giving them notes, teaching them like what you're supposed to do, why this is wrong. And I didn't know if it was going to pay off. And then yesterday, after class was over, one of the students waited till everyone was gone to come talk to me. And in the beginning of class, beginning of the semester, his writing was not good, right? And I was really worried about him. But then I noticed his writing started to really improve, more than other students that I was working on. Like, he just started to excel pretty rapidly. And he came to me, and he's very shy, and he asked, I just wanted to know where I'm at with your class. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I can't tell you your exact grade because there's still work that I need to input into the system and there's still grading that I need to do. But I think you're doing way better now than before in the beginning. And I'm like, can I ask you something? What is it that made you improve? Because your writing is so much better. And then he said a bunch of really nice things. He said, I didn't really care about journalism until I took your class. And he's like, my last journalism class, I barely passed it. And you've motivated me, you've inspired me. And it was like the best feeling in the world, right? And he thanked me for working with him, you know, one-on-one and giving him a chance to succeed. He said, a lot of people haven't given me a chance to succeed. They just give up on me. And I like wanted to cry. It was such a good feeling. Yeah. Anyway, I just love it. And it's, dude, you know what? Like, I think there's a lot of emphasis on money in this country, right? Because you need money to live, I get it. Teaching is not a profitable thing at all, especially if you're like a part-time professor, which is what I am. But the feeling I get when I see a student excel and do better and get inspired and wanna, you know, pursue something amazing, it's the best.
Yeah. No, that last statement about how people were giving up on him and you didn't, that's amazing, man. That's what you live for.
Yeah.
My issue with teaching is, I'm sure that I would, first of all, God bless you for having the patience to teach them grammar as well. It's too one-on-one. Because I'm an egomaniac, I want to have a bigger impact.
You're right.
And the good way of framing it, of course, if I just wanted to puff myself up, is that I want to be able to help more people, right? And that's true, it is. But also, one-on-one requires a lot of patience, and I'm not sure that I have the kind of patience that you have. So it's for both reasons, right?
Yeah.
But that's a part of the point here, which is that fulfillment is not something you get when you eat your vegetables. And I don't like the taste, me particularly, I don't like the taste of cauliflower, but okay, I guess I did the right thing.
Yeah.
No. It's a reward in and of itself. I know this is all like getting to be afternoon school special or whatever, but and it's getting back to the saccharine, but it's true, it's true. Fulfillment feels great.
Yeah.
And so when you get something like that, it makes all of your hard work worth it. And
humans want purpose.
Yeah.
You know, purpose is super important. And I think anyone who feels like they don't have a purpose or that they're not having some sort of positive impact starts to feel down on themselves. And I think that's one of the things that I've really struggled with since last year. And I'm happy that I'm teaching again because it's like, look, I think that with this job, even though yes, you have the potential to impact a lot more people, I think some of the downsides make you blind to the impact you're having, right? And maybe that doesn't happen with you, it certainly happens with me.
Yeah, you get battered by the criticism.
Right? I do,
And I'm not just saying you, everybody does. And I have rhino skin.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know where you got that skin from, but I just.
Growing up with Steve-O.
Yeah, well, that'll do it.
The battering I took first for my sister, okay, and then for my friends. By the time I got here, I already had enormously thick skin. It was like, oh, they called me this and that. Like a rhino shaking off a fly. Anyway, you don't see the personal interactions as much as I do because people come up to me more, I'm in public more, and they say all sorts of wonderful things. Like even last night, the thing that people say to me most often is thank you. what a funny thing to say, you know, that you do a job, but like, you can, if you keep using the same examples, but if you're a plumber or a dentist or an accountant, somebody comes up to you like, thank you for great dentistry.
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't happen. And so we have this great, great job where it does happen, and it's wonderful. So it's both to help folks, but also some degree of selfishness.
Yeah.
So when I describe that image of, you know, getting the 28th Amendment passed and money out of politics, and I'm on a porch somewhere and drinking iced tea or lemonade, depending on my mood, that it feels good to have done something and given back, and it also just feels good.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for that. And if you, and so for the folks that are in Wolfpack and that you've won in your own state, every one of them will tell you, best thing I ever did. And it feels so good, right? And hopefully when the Just Democrats win, and then eventually that leads to policy changes, because politics is all good and fine. It's supposed to lead to policy. And that, the politicians have forgotten that, and it drives me crazy, except for the ones that are trying to drive for policy that their donors want. Anyway, could you imagine, let us whisper of a dream. We actually pass Medicare for All, and everyone in the country is covered. And you don't have to worry about your family member dying or being bankrupted if you get sick. Let's whisper of a dream of college for all.
Oh my God, yes.
So they, anybody can go to college and have equal opportunity.
Yes.
Right? And that we fund that with the extra $70 billion we spent on defense this year alone. Not defense money, the extra $70 billion.
Yep.
Right? And instead of that going to Lockheed Martin and Boeing, that it goes to your kids. And they don't have, they can come out of college without debt. Let us whisper of a dream. And if we could make that happen, lemonade on porches for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? And if you help to make that happen, do you have any idea how good you'll feel? And every one of the volunteers at Wolfpack that won in those states, they all were critical and they all made it happen. And for the Just Democrats, we're gonna do likewise. And wait till you get a load of us in 2021. The dream lives. All right, we will see you guys tomorrow. Speaking of the dream, and maybe the next step in the dream tomorrow as we announce our candidate. Interesting, interesting. Don't miss it, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.